Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. The 2011 earthquake off the Pacific coast of Tohoku was a magnitude 9.0 undersea megathrust earthquake that occurred at 2:46 Japan Standard Time on Friday, March 11th, there in 2011. The epicenter was approximately 43 miles or 70 kilometers east of the Oshika Peninsula of Tohoku, and the hypocenter at an underwater depth of approximately 20 miles or 32 kilometers. It was the most powerful known earthquake ever to hit Japan. It was one of the most of the five most powerful earthquakes in the world since modern record keeping began in 1900. The earthquake triggered powerful tsunami waves that reached heights of up to 133 feet, 40.5 meters, in Miyako in Tohoku's Iwate Prefecture, and which, in the Sendai area, traveled up to 6 miles inland, 10 kilometers. The earthquake moved Honshu 8 feet east and shifted the earth on its axis by estimates of between 4 and 10 inches, 10 to 25 centimeters. The tsunami caused a number of nuclear accidents, primarily the ongoing level 7 meltdowns at 3 reactors in the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant complex. The associated evacuation zones affecting hundreds of thousands of residents. Many electrical generators were taken down, and at least 3 nuclear reactors suffered explosions due to hydrogen gas that had built up within their outer containment buildings after cooling system failures. Residents within 12-mile radius of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant and a 6.2-mile radius of Fukushima Daini nuclear power plant were evacuated. In addition, the United States recommended that its citizens evacuate up to 50 miles of the plant. Just the description of the magnitude of the horror of this natural disaster beckons us to go back in not only in our minds but in our hearts of the absolute unutterable devastation that took place on that day. And what is most heart-wrenching about it all is that there are people, men, women, children, just like you, just like your dad or your mom, your brother, your sister, your son or daughter, a cousin, an auntie, an uncle, who lost their lives, who lost their loved ones in what looked like and what it felt like it was a moment, an instant. In our studio, we've had a special guest. His name is Pastor Akira Mori. He's the pastor of Evangelical Orient Mission. He's a graduate of Central Bible College in Tokyo, Japan. He's married to Anikin. They have 3 children, and God has used them in the aftermath of the tsunami as a conduit of hope and renewal. this is that rare interview that we had with Pastor Maury. And I want you to listen in and open your heart to what God wants to do in your life and through your life in light of this great disaster. Listen. Norwegian Missionary Society.
Yes.
Pastor, how did you connect with, I guess, the Norwegian Missionary Society, but you connected with your wife, Anniken.
Yes. Well, that was after.
After.
Yeah, after I joined the Missionary Society or mission organization in Norway, because I lived in Norway then for about 12 years. And because I knew a missionary, a Norwegian man who used to be Japan missionary, and he asked me to join the mission, and I did. And that's when it started with my wife. I was 37 already then. Mm-hmm. And my superior said, look, you're 37 and you're single, and we're going to send you to Asia, and no one will trust you because you're not married. So get yourself married. And what about this beautiful, intelligent, young missionary who is working in Japan? You pray about her. And yeah, that was the start.
You know, it's so, I think it's unique, you know, to have a Nihonjin?
Yes.
In Norway.
That's right.
And now she's a missionary in Japan. And you know what I particularly like is the direct way in which your superior talked to you. Pray.
Yes.
Pray about her being your wife.
Yeah, well, that's Norwegian, pretty much.
Mm.
They don't waste time for wishy-washy things. And once you're friends, they can be direct. And I do appreciate that. Because I was actually scared of getting married because of my parents who divorced when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And I did not know it. I did not realize it. But I was scared of getting into serious relationship and getting married. Mm. So in afterthought, I see it was God's hand altogether. By then, when my superior told me to pray about her, she had been already a missionary to Japan for about 12 years. And I reluctantly prayed a couple of times, but I wasn't too serious, I have to admit. Until that same year, summer, the same year, and my chief said, look, she's coming home for summer vacation. Her parents paid her way. So you must meet her. And he said, you mind if I arrange it? You're used to arranged marriage, aren't you? I said, oh, okay. And yeah, I was not very keen or kind of expecting things. Just left it to him, mm-hmm. kind of. Only to realize that he talked with his wife, and his wife got so upset and mad at him and told him, leave them alone. They are grown-up people. You have nothing with them to do. So he came to me and apologized and, sorry, you have to do it on your own. by that time, I was, yeah, I don't know what happened in my mind, but I was only thinking, now I have to meet her. I have to meet her. And talk about, yeah, I don't know how much you want to hear about detail, but.
Well, we love to hear the stories of God's bringing people together.
Yes.
And the divine blessed romance that he creates.
Yes.
and the way that he puts people together.
Yeah.
For his purpose.
Yes.
And, you know, it is refreshing. To have a direct voice.
Yes.
Someone to be very clear.
Yeah.
So I guess, like you said, that's the way of Norwegian
yes.
people.
Right.
Pastor, how did you connect with Roy and Kathy Sakuma?
That's another miracle story, not only my marriage. I didn't know Roy Sakuma or Kathy, but I knew a lady who lives in Hawaii. She's Japanese, very much American too in cultural sense, because of one American prayer walker preacher. His name is Henry Gruber. And because I translate for Henry Gruber when he comes to Japan, God connected Henry and I with Kazuko-san. And she was the one who has known Roy and Kathy and recommended them to come to see us, because Roy wanted to come to Fukushima in Japan after the tsunami and earthquake and nuclear power station accident. So through Kazuko-san, I came to meet Roy and Kathy. They came to our city, and we tried to arrange for them to visit temporary housings in our city. There are 30 different places that have temporary housing area. Altogether, I think it's up to 30,000 people who are living there. And we managed to arrange four places to have ukulele class with internationally renowned Roy Sakuma. I just found out about him by and by, and that's how we got connected.
That's a special word from Pastor Akira Mori of Evangelical Orient Mission. He's doing a phenomenal work, the way God is using him there in Japan, specifically in the area that has been most devastated by the recent tsunami. And he was introduced to me by Roy Sakuma, Roy and Kathy Sakuma, and they connected during Roy and Kathy's time there, as Roy went and brought hope, the hope of the Lord Jesus, coming all the way from Hawaii with the ukulele, teaching, singing, teaching how to play, and giving away ukuleles that had been donated. Well, when we come back from our break, we'll talk more. And I want you to especially open your heart to what Pastor Akira Mori is going to share about actually what happened. You know, when you hear about it from someone whose family who was there in Japan, you'll get it from him. Open your heart to the message that the Lord has for you. The Holy Spirit is at work. He works through media, radio airwaves, the internet. He can even work through Facebook and Twitter to connect you with others and to connect people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is indeed hope and love in Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 888-484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Have you ever had somebody come to your door, they knock on your door, or they ring your doorbell, your home, but you don't answer? You pretend like you're not home. You're not there. Nobody's there, and they keep knocking, and you could be home alone, or you may have a good reason. This is not by any means a judgment on that, but you don't answer. Do you ever wonder what the need was or what the situation was? You might think that it was someone that you know and. Well, then that might be another case. But today, someone is knocking at the door. Through this story, you're going to hear someone knocking at the door of needs that exist in Japan, how to help meet those needs, how to make a difference in the lives of people. But at the same time, as you listen, I want you to keep in mind and open your heart to the fact that Jesus Christ himself is actually knocking on the door of your heart. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever you're going through, that Jesus himself, who loves you and knows you, is knocking on the door of your heart and wants to come in. Would you open the door of your heart to Christ? You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today is one of the renowned leaders in Japan among the Japanese churches. His name is Pastor Akira Mori. And he came in with Roy and Kathy Sukuma, along with his wife Aniken, and shared from his heart the story of what took place recently in 2011 in that day of devastation, and now become an opportunity to bring hope to people. Listen to this pre-recorded interview with Pastor Akira Mori.
We managed to arrange four places to have ukulele class with internationally renowned Roy Sukuma. I just found out about him by and by, and that's how we got connected.
You mentioned tsunami.
Yes.
Pastor, take us back to March 11, 2011. What was your experience when the tsunami hit?
When the earthquake and tsunami hit the northeastern Japan, I was not home. My wife was. I was actually interpreting or translating for an African-Australian preacher in Kyoto. So I noticed almost nothing that day. People talked about throughout the town that it's a big earthquake in northeastern Japan, Tohoku, and it's okay for you? Don't you have to go home? But I had no idea of the extension. So I thought it was okay. I thought it was bigger one, but not so serious. I did not realize how great devastation it was until the midnight that day. But my wife was in the city of Iwaki and experienced it physically and emotionally in every way.
What was your reaction when you began to really the reality of the impact began to percolate within your own heart and soul? You began to realize the immense nature of what had taken place.
Yeah.
How did it affect you?
No. I came back to the hotel close to midnight and turned on the TV. And I could not believe my eyes. I buried my face in the pillow and cried out loud. And the immediate thing that came out of my mouth was asking God for forgiveness. I repented of the sins of Christians, of the nation, of Japan, politicians, financial people, and also the Church of Jesus Christ. Who am I? But I just, that was what I did. I felt like it was a result of Japan's and Japanese people's sin. Not that I felt like God was punishing severely, no, but I just felt that our sin caused that natural catastrophe. Somehow I felt that. So I was crying.
You know, we saw unimaginable footage.
Yes.
I mean, Hollywood would have a very difficult time trying to create that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here we are in Hawaii watching that. How did it affect your family?
We have three children. All of them were out of town, or one was in the States. He's studying in the States. Second son was in Norway, and our youngest daughter was in Tokyo. Was that in Tokyo? Yeah. And they were worried about us because they heard about the nuclear power station exploding with hydrogen, whatever. Mm-hmm. And in the first days, it was difficult to get telephone contact. But finally we managed, and they were very much worried. But when they talked with us, they were so... they felt so at ease. Actually, they said that they're proud of us because my wife and I, it was very clear for us that Iwaki City was the place God sent us to. And unless God says move, we are to stay there. We should be the last ones to leave the city. And in those first 3-4 days, I think about 20,000 people left the city because of the fear of contamination.
So you saw it on TV. Mm. You fell beside your bed, buried your face in the pillow, cried out to God. Mm. What was it like when you actually saw with your very own eyes what had happened?
That made me speechless. I guess I'm a talker, but when I came to those coastal villages and towns of our city and saw the devastation by tsunami, I had nothing to say. My mind was blank. I guess it was heaviness with sadness upon my heart. And that's all. I could not think or say anything. It was just too overwhelming. I mean, there used to stand hundreds of houses. Houses became burning woods. I mean, you know, big pillars and wood pieces, beams. That was in small bits. I just can't describe it. It was piles after piles of debris of houses. Someplace I could see kids' school bag, shoes, toys. What can you say? I couldn't.
What was the immediate need at that time?
People needed everything. They lost everything in a matter of hours. So people were gathered in school gym halls and community houses, huge area with tens, hundreds, and sometimes more than 1,000 people jammed into. It was still cold. It was in the middle of March. Those gym halls are extra cold, and they didn't have anything. They were dependent on everything, food, water, clothes. Most of the people could not change their clothes for 3 weeks because there was no privacy and there was nothing to change to. First days, all they got was cold food, cold water. So they needed everything, clothes, quilt, blankets, clothes, hot meals, hot drinks. And more than anything else, I think they needed some other people who cared about them.
When did people start coming?
Immediately. Those who could come, they came. Hmm. They drove miles and miles, hours and hours. Much of the road was destroyed because of the earthquake. They could not drive fast, even on highways. And it was blocked. But those who came for relief aid, they were allowed.
Pastor Akira Mori, describing the aftermath of the tsunami of 2011 there in Tohoku, Japan. When we come back from our break, we're going to spend some time talking about what took place, who came, who helped, what happened to the churches of Japan. How did they mobilize? How did people from outside, how did Christ followers from different parts of the world get involved? But you know, some time has passed. How are people still getting involved? Or what are the needs that exist now? You know, there has been some rebuilding, construction taking place. Lives are slowly being put back together. But what are the needs? How can we respond now? What difference can we make today? As you listen, I've been saying it throughout. Let your heart be open. Open to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Open to how the Lord may be prompting you. And as you respond to the Lord, as you hear Him and respond, you see, you're becoming a part of something supernatural. You avail yourself to God. You begin to access the power of God, the provision of God, and the vision of the Lord. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Pastor Akira Mori.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Every 4 years, you have the Summer Olympics. Every other 4 years, you got the Winter Olympics. So it's like a two-year window between Olympics. And whenever there are Olympics, you have literally millions and millions of people all over the world that are glued to their television, completely mesmerized by the competition and the athletic feats that take place. But I have heard that there is nothing quite like being there, just having a first-hand experience. Well, one way of getting close to it is maybe hearing someone else share what their experience was like. The same is true. To get an on-the-ground feel, a first-hand look of what took place in Japan in 2011 on that a day of disaster, but also a day of tremendous, significant opportunity, March 11th, 2011, on that Friday, doors flew open for people to bring relief, bring aid, bring the love of Jesus Christ. And people did do that. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today is Pastor Akira Mori. And he's been leading his church and a coalition of other ministries together to work with the relief, the reconstruction, the building process, not only of structures, but of lives. People there. If you're tuning in right now and you're wondering, hey, how can I get the rest of the show? Can I pass this on? Can I share it with others? Can I listen to it again? The answer is absolutely yes. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can download the podcast for free and send it via Facebook to a friend or family member, or just send a link via email to a family member or a friend so they can access this. TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. I also have another website called GoodLifeSlice.com. We have 90-second spots that will just give you a quick boost, a refresher, just build you up. And that's also something I would encourage you to make use of as a way to reach someone that you love, someone that you care about. Send them the link They're from goodlifeslice.com. Now, let's go back to our dialogue, our heart-to-heart sharing with Pastor Akira Mori.
Even on highways, and it was blocked, but those who came for relief aid, they were allowed. So right from day one, some people started coming, or local people, people nearby, they started coming. It happened all over Northeast Japan. But first after 2 days, 3 days, it really started. I know a missionary, American missionary, who came to our city on Sunday, and devastation was on Friday. So he was there already with a van full of relief supplies. Hmm. Christians have done a tremendous job.
It's often said, out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
People have been fixated to the television when they showed the footage, and it went on for months. People came in, like you said, immediately.
Yeah.
Time has gone by.
Yes.
Share with us about progress and ongoing needs that are there.
Yes. The progress. Yes. For many people, it seems that that saying is real. Out of sight, out of mind. Most of the volunteer organizations have ended their work. Most of them. But still there are many, I would say, who continue to find the ways to help, and especially the Christians. Many local people say Christians are the only ones who continue to support us, which is flattering. But for us, I guess, as children of God, it is just a matter of course. Mm-hmm. It's a natural thing. The needs are totally different from 17 months back. People don't need any more food or warmth or clothes, mostly, because most of these people are placed in temporary housings, which is kind of workers' barracks for construction site. I think it is about 18 square meters. It's divided into two rooms and small kitchen, bathroom, and bath. It's very small, very small. And it's not seldom that two families, two generations live together, which is very difficult. Now the government, central government, local governments, they've been building more and more temporary housings. So it happened to our city. It grew and grew. And eventually people around the nuclear power station wanted to come and live as close as possible to their homes, and that's our city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of a big part of reason of why 30,000 people live in our city. Out of Fukushima, Fukushima is a state. I heard that out of Fukushima, 50,000 people are displaced. So more than half of them are living in Iwaki City. And their needs are not so much physical or material, but emotional and psychological and spiritual. Many people have said to our teams, you don't have to come to us with things, but just come and stay with us. Some people don't want the teams to leave. They hold their hands and beg them to stay. I think the need is great today in that sense that those people need people who care for them, who love them so much that they would spend time with them, come long ways or short ways. Just spending time with them, I see that is one of the greatest needs.
How have you seen or felt or experienced the hearts of people being open to the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I understand that most of Christians worldwide, they want to know that. Many have told me that they expect great change in the people, and they expect that people in flocks will accept Christ. I haven't experienced it. People are open for friendships mm-hmm. with strangers, but it is my sense, and I heard it directly from several people, that they don't want any religion to be pushed upon them. And actually, one of the temporary housing leaders said to us, "You guys from Global Mission Center, you don't push any religion upon us. That's why we trust you." I think that is shared with by far the most of those evacuees. But they are open for personal touch. And when they feel safe with us, then they are open to be prayed for, or they can come with questions about Jesus, then we can share.
So, it takes time.
Yes.
It takes commitment. I guess sometimes the thought of fast food evangelism
yeah.
Is not working.
No.
It's not going to work.
No.
And that I think the American, very much the Western mindset, because we process so much so quickly, we begin to expect spiritual manufacturing to take place.
Right.
So one of the dangers, I think, is, okay, just say this prayer and accept Christ. But we short-circuit the process, and we have not allowed an individual to go through the process of the Holy Spirit working. Sometimes we go before the
That's
Holy
right.
Spirit.
That's right.
And I think it's a great reminder. It's sort of sobering to hear, because I would imagine people would think, okay, with such devastation, people are going to come with flocks. This is the entree of a revival going back in like in church history. But it's a very sobering thing for us to hear.
Mm.
Sobering in the sense that it brings us to the point where, well, are we willing to commit to build those relationships?
Yes.
With the thought in mind, possibly, that there are generations of lives that will be impacted spiritually in the days to come.
Yes.
Well, I listen. It's when you share, it sparks thoughts, movements in my own heart, and I believe that this is extremely stimulating and very necessary for our listeners.
Mm.
Pastor, I'd like to take it back a little bit.
Yes.
And tell us, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a very small fishing town up in Hokkaido. Hokkaido is the northern island
mm-hmm.
where severe winter is, a lot of snow, and up to or down to minus 25 centigrade. So I grew up in a countryside of Japan.
When I hear Hokkaido, I think of two names.
Uh-huh.
Taiho
yes.
and Chiyono Fuji.
Wow, that's great. Yes, both are from Hokkaido.
Oh, yes. Chiyono Fuji was one of my heroes growing
yes,
up.
Yes, yes.
I would stay up late to watch his match every single
yes.
night.
Right.
Chiyono Fuji.
Wow.
What was it like growing up in Hokkaido?
I was born straight after the war, Second World War. It was not many things. Very poor environment, and especially my family. Due to my parents' divorce, we didn't have much. We were one of the first to live on the social welfare system. It just about started. in the post-war time. So, and I am glad that I grew up in a poor surroundings and situations. I had to be careful with things, and to the degree of getting grudgy. But I guess I learned the value of things in that way, and of also that people are not so busy as today. Hmm. It's interesting. The affluence makes people busier. In those days, we had more time. We could play outside, getting into the ocean. It's not so easy to get into the ocean today. There are signboards everywhere saying prohibited to swim here. We had none of that.
That's Pastor Akira Mori. Now, going into his personal life, where he grew up, what it was like in his growing up years, how does God put together the life of a man who will marry a Norwegian, who is a missionary in Japan, and be there for such a strategic time in the aftermath, or well, actually there in Japan, but in the aftermath to help rebuild not only infrastructure of buildings and those sorts of things, but also the internal infrastructure of humanity, human beings living there in Japan. When we come back, you'll hear the incredible story of how God took a man who grew up in a pretty rough upbringing, brought him to Christ and prepared him for the work that he is doing today. By the way, you're probably wondering, and by the way, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll hear more about that story. But you might be wondering, okay, Danny, you mentioned Taiho and Chiyono Fuji. Well, for those of you who need to know who they are some of a couple of the greatest sumotoris, yokozunas of Japan, Chiyono Fuji and Taiho. Of course, we have in Hawaii our own Takamiyama and Akebono and Konishiki and Musashimaru. But Taiho, yeah, and Chiyono Fuji might ring a bell to some of you who are listening. They came from Hokkaido. I know Hokkaido's close to Russia. So when you look at them, sometimes their looks are a little differently. Their build's a little different. But when we come back, we'll hear more from Pastor Akira Mori about the needs and how to fulfill those needs. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Tinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700-998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709.
online. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So somebody is listening and saying, okay, Danny, you talk about how God can connect someone's life and build them up to where they are today. I hear people, great guests, come on your show. They tell just phenomenal stories of God's amazing work in their life. Even though they've had rough upbringings, can God do that for me? Does God really have a purpose and plan for my life? Does He have certain assignments for me to live out? Will God give me strength and power to do the things that He has called me to do? It's an incredible thought, you say to yourself. Well, it's true. God loves you, yes, and He does have a purpose for your life. We do not exist on this earth just to be here. God created you for a purpose. And Akira Mori, Pastor Akira Mori, is going to share how God worked in his life to prepare him for the great work that he's doing in Japan. As you do, take in the inspiration. Now, let's listen more.
Outside, getting into the ocean. It's not so easy to get into the ocean today. There are signboards everywhere saying prohibited to swim here. We had none of that. So although we were poor, I think I was quite happy, part of it anyway. But deep within was a trouble building up without me knowing it or realizing it. It was the lack of parents' affection, love. So I was very much twisted in my mind. And I see some of them still today, after decades. It's not easy to get rid of. But God is alive, and He has healed me. And still, some scars are left. It doesn't hurt anymore, but the scars are there. Which is good for me, because those are reminders of where I come from. So the childhood was great, except that because of my family background, my classmates or my friends' mothers, who were, mothers were always at home in those days, they saw me with very peculiar eyes, and I didn't know what it was. But later I found out that they were considering me as the boy from that miserable home with that terrible mother who works in alcohol serving places. And that helped to twist my inner being further.
Can you share with us about your spiritual journey? How did you become a Christian?
Okay, I was raised by my great-grandmother. She was quite a woman, a very strong will. I would say foul language for a Japanese lady to be. But she loved me, and she taught me a lot of things, amongst others, to respect Buddhism. It was my duty every morning to put bowl of fresh rice and fresh water into the Buddhist house altar. And then in the evening to take them down. Whenever Buddhist monks or priests came for chanting, that was not so seldom. She made me to sit beside him all the way until I was 10. That was my daily routine. Then, at the age of 10, it just happened for me to go downtown. I don't remember why I went there. But our city was, or town was so small, and city center was only a cross section without traffic light or anything in those days. I happened to bang into an American missionary with Japanese Christians standing there and inviting people to their tent meetings out of curiosity, sheer and pure curiosity. I followed after them, found the tent, and I was invited to kids' meeting, and that was the start.
How old were you?
I was 10. And I continued to go to every meeting, and I think I attended the night meetings too. Wasn't so strict in our home. And then I was invited to the Sunday school they started, just started that year, I think. And it became the highlight of the week for me to go to the Sunday school because I felt grown-up people in the church, they were different from the people I used to know. They didn't have these prejudices or ransacking or condemning eyes. I felt it. So it became joy. And when the pastor said to me as I entered the junior high school that if I believed in Jesus Christ, I could be saved. And without knowing any meaning of it, I said yes. There was no resistance in me. So I accepted Christ simply without knowing anything and got baptized when I was 13.
That's the story of Pastor Akira Mori, how coming to Christ at an early age, even through a rough upbringing, how God prepared him all through the years for what he has for him today. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ, the hope of Christ, with someone near you. Invite somebody to listen in and be inspired by going to the Good Life Hawaii radio show or 2 p.m. and 12 midnight every day here at 99.5 KGU FM. Your support will go a long way in helping to reach someone with the love of Christ, and go to thegoodlifehawaii.org to partner with us. Psalm 4 verse 8 says, "To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill." It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest, Pastor Akira Mori. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.